Welcome to Business Beat. I'm Erin Hayes, and that's Ian Barrett.
Yeah, I was getting my coffee. Sorry, I had to get off set there for a second.
And we have our dear friend and co-host David Ginsberg on the
phone. Hello, everybody.
Hey, David, how are you?
I am doing all right, thank you.
Broadcasting is the way we're communicating with people. That's why we're doing the show right now. And people are looking for their updates. They're looking for the best information. They're looking to turn to people that they trust to provide helpful updates, right? And that's where we're at right now. So in a weird way, it's almost like the 50s all over again. The family, you know, because they're forced to, gets around in the living room and around the radio, the glow of the radio, the glow of the television, and they get their update from the news together because, you know, we're all in this together here. So
yeah, and looking for answers at a time when everything just feels so overwhelming.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It is overwhelming, and sifting through a lot of the news is a big part of what we're trying to do on the show today. So I think we just started with, you know, today is the beginning of the second quarter. The first quarter is now officially over. Probably the crappiest first quarter in the history of modern, you know, everything, right? Like the stock exchange, rough year. This is going to be the longest year ever.
You can hear our children
in the background. If you're not aware of this right now, we have screaming children running all over the studio because our house is just like your house. And so, anyway.
And they've been very good with the April Fool's jokes. We will not pull one on you guys, but you know, Paloma, our six-year-old, has been insane.
Yeah, it's been, there's a lot of things that were wrong this morning, weren't actually wrong. It was a lot of storytelling. But anyway, what I wanted to mention was that if we want to go right back to the beginning here and just talk about where this all started, and I think when we're going back and looking at the date, January 20th of 2020, was when South Korea and United States both reported their first case. And what we've seen now is what's going on. Where are we at with this situation right now? And according to Johns Hopkins, this graphic I'm sharing with you tonight is accurate as of yesterday, March 31st, 2020. And it shows that we have 188,000 cases. And if you look down at South Korea's line, it's the purple line just above the zero line there, and they have 9,000 cases. And you have to ask yourself, how do two democratic governments have such a variety of results here? It comes down to a couple things. And the big thing they're saying is testing, testing, testing. South Korea immediately, you know, put the brakes on and started the testing and started evaluating people. They were able to do hundreds of thousands of tests before we were able to. They were able to identify the groups, isolate them, and treat them right away. And that's why they're in a much more stable place. Meanwhile, we have more cases than China does right now, and that's because we're still playing games. There are people in other cities that are like, oh, I don't need to close the beaches. I can open my school for the kids. I can do this. They're ignoring it, and we are, if they don't cut the crap, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
The other problem also is that, you know, test results take, you know, right now I have a couple of people in my life who have been tested. They were tested 4 days ago. They still haven't received results. That's the other problem. I mean, right now, if everyone, all the experts are saying, if you feel like maybe you have it, stay home because it will be a while before you get a test result.
Right.
So that's the other problem with the testing is it's just not, it's not fast.
Well, to go back to South Korea, you're right. In the South Korea example, not only do they have a strong, functioning central government that people, they're not debating reality. They accept reality and move towards solutions based on that reality. But also, they survived the SARS outbreak and MERS outbreak years ago. So they learned from those epidemics of how to quickly institute a protocol that doesn't revise, right? And there's no idiotic conspiracy theories and the polarization of our politics where, you know, half the country thinks that get our health out to get them, and it caused a massive breakdown, the ability to provide testing, and to take the issue seriously, and to get people to accept social distancing, staying at home, and getting tested. Well, why can't we have a test that gives us instantaneous results that they have in other countries? Why aren't we embracing the same capabilities?
Exactly. Why aren't we doing this? I mean, what I'm trying to do is I'm not trying to be antagonistic or whatnot here. I'm basically trying to say, just look at the example. Right now, a bunch of countries have reached out to South Korea about exactly how they did it because they realized that South Korea nailed it. You know who nailed it? Taiwan nailed it. And they're not getting credit for it because the WHO considers them part of China and Taiwan considers them their own country. So here we are playing politics with regionally who is what. instead of actually turning around and saying, wow, Taiwan, you did an amazing job flattening this curve. And then, as we talked about before, other countries are playing with their numbers right now, not being honest about it because they're concerned about their GDP, they're concerned about how they're going to look in the world, whether they're a world leader or not. Russia, China, United States. In the United States, we're all playing a game now where we don't count a passing as COVID if there was any complicating factor. So we're seeing people, nurses saying, he came in with pneumonia and COVID and they're being diagnosed as a pneumonia patient. And that is not great. That's not a good thing. It's hard to get real facts and figures when that's going on. Meanwhile, we have third-party companies that are using your location data from your phone to basically track you and share that with the federal government right now so they can track large groups of people. This is sort of a kind of a Patriot type thing that we didn't technically vote for or whatnot, but that's actually happening right now. They're tracking these phones and they're tracking people's locations in a positive way, I guess, because you don't want large groups showing. But in another way, is that the most effective thing right now? Wouldn't be the testing and whatnot be the most important thing to do? Wouldn't it be getting all the governors to say, hey, everybody, every governor of every state, we've got a problem, let's do
this?
Well,
Ian, that would require leadership from the top. Okay. Saying one thing, and that is, I mean, that's honestly the problem. And I really don't mean to point fingers and be, you know, red versus blue, but if our president said, this is the way it is, this is what you need to do, we would see more of that possible.
Well, that would be possible. What I'm saying right now is obviously it's pretty clear that we still don't have it together, and we still need to make the hard decision right now. We actually haven't done it yet, so it's time to just really look at these numbers. The facts don't lie, the numbers don't lie. Masks, testing, isolation, and having everybody on board is absolutely the way to beat this. Otherwise, it's gonna go on for a very long time.
Agreed. And not pushing quack theories about potential drugs or potential treatments and crackpot theories of try this to avoid a virus. And, you know, it's so much nonsense that, you know, the signal gets hard to read through the noise.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and also just saying that talking about it as a pandemic is against the president. That would also be helpful.
I think that the facts of the case are that we need to get back to business. I agree with everybody that says we need to do that. But, you know, getting out of the box early and then collapsing backwards is absolutely the worst thing for everybody. That means every gain that you made will be completely lost. So all I'm just advocating is let's just take it more seriously right now, because people aren't. People are still fighting about it. Nunes said in California that he can't believe that closing the schools for the rest of the year is a smart idea. So this is an elected official who's arguing right now with the state of California about whether that's a good idea or not. I'm predicting.
Yeah, well, Devin Nunes also has been the dumbest member of Congress by a pretty wide margin. So if it's not anybody in D.C., they'll tell you the same thing. You know, he and Louie Gohmert are fighting over who's going to wear the dunce cap the longest.
Well, you know, it's funny when Arnold Schwarzenegger says, you know, what did you do with my stockpiles that I had when I was governor? So here's Schwarzenegger, a Republican, by the way, BT Dubs, who advocated for having these pandemic supplies and making sure that we were prepared for this. And he was very upset when this got gutted. So, like I said, it is not a Republican or a Democratic issue. It's about what's smart for the people, because when people aren't healthy and the business isn't flowing, it's bad for everybody. And there are people, companies, services that are not going to survive this, and we're going to see a completely changed America on the other side of this situation.
This week, I've seen a lot of people getting laid off. There was a big Black Tuesday for radio yesterday. I'm seeing more and more of people who thought that they were going to be safe through this, realizing that they're not. Their companies are changing their mind because they can probably see this going on for a little bit. So I think that this week was the week that reality really started to set in.
Yeah. Before this business meet episode, we had our first staff meeting via Zoom, which, you know, as the GM, I have to redo these every couple of weeks. You know, they're normally pretty mundane. Today was, here's our contingency plans for the next several weeks into months. We have scenarios A, B, and C. We're in scenario one now. We may have to move to scenario two, you know, before the month is over. And it's just a reality of, you know, whether you're a for-profit or a small nonprofit like this one, it's a reality. And it's a hard conversation to have, but it's a necessary conversation to have. And for all the people that got laid off, not only did they get laid off or furloughed, however they want to phrase it, as much of the stimulus is going to help with unemployment benefits, to actually get registered for unemployment is a very arduous process right now, because the system is totally overwhelmed by the sheer volume of people that are applying for it. And if you're trying to make rent or feed your kids or get life-saving medicine and you're dependent on unemployment to cover those bills, this is an incredibly frightening moment to deal with all this on top of the fears of the virus itself.
We want to let's address this issue too, because you've said some really serious stuff, and the reality of this is starting to set in a very deep way for a lot of people. I'm advocating that you need to be positive and think positively and be calm, especially because you're nervous, because when you make decisions when you're not in a calm state, a lot of times you can have flawed thinking about it. So we wanted to share a couple of videos right now that represent, I think, some good views. So let's start with
James
Corden, basically doing his show from his garage. So we're going to share a little bit of that audio right now.
Thank you so much for watching tonight. I've really enjoyed sitting here and talking to you and talking to our guests. It's been a welcome break. I hope for you as much as it has been for me over what has been quite a scary couple of weeks. I found it tougher than I ever thought I would. I found myself having these incredible sort of spikes of anxiety and sadness when I've allowed myself to think about my family back home in England, or my friends, or the people I love. You feel so out of control in it all. It feels so beyond our comprehension, all of it, that I found I just get sort of overwhelmed with sadness in it all, really. And the truth is, what I've realized is it's okay right now. It's all right to feel a bit sad. It's okay to feel anxious. And the best thing we can all do is kind of try and breathe through that and try and put our minds in a positive place and think, what can I do to help someone else who might be feeling like this? And just me talking to you now tonight has made me feel a bit lighter. And I've found that when I've called friends or when I've FaceTimed my parents or my sisters, reaching out to somebody else who you think might be struggling too is pretty much the best thing we can all do right now, because we absolutely will get through this. We will. And that's why we wanted to make this show, to try and share in these feelings together, share music that we love with people that we love, and know that much as we're apart, we are unified together.
So I think that's an excellent, excellent statement right there. Reaching out, communicating. That's what this show is about right now. This is what Business TV is about right now. This is what WICN is about right now. Reaching out and communicating and being calm and being a good leader, being aware of the facts, but also don't freak out. Nobody can freak out. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be worried. It's okay to be scared, but it's not okay to let those overrule all your other feelings right now, or all your other responsibilities right now. So call somebody up, take care of somebody. We have another clip that offers some quick suggestions, and I'd like to share that real quick.
I think one of the things to be positive about is that self-isolation and being alone, either as a family or a couple or in whatever group you are, or literally solitary, is that you have to redefine your sense of time. Time suddenly alters completely in these situations. And I think a very important idea is to draw up some sort of timetable, if you like. It can be a physical thing, it could be on the wall, it can be on a blackboard, or just on a piece of paper. You can take more time to do everything, but you can also turn off the notifications on your phones and tablets and other devices so that you're not bombarded by headlines. Believe me, if anything important, really important, happens, you'll find out about it. Decide on a time to look in at the news, maybe, I don't know, 11 in the morning and then 3 in the afternoon, or for one of the press conferences, and last thing at night if you want to. But there's so much noise. Everybody wants to have a point of view. Everybody wants either to show how splendid they are or to show how awful the world is, and people want to paint a picture of an apocalypse. But the fact is, if you listen to the scientific advisors, they almost always begin every sentence with, "We think it's possible, maybe, perhaps, we don't know, but." That's how experts talk, people who really understand it.
So we have to live with uncertainty. We all have to
get to know. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's anxious making to some extent, but what it allows you to do is to blank out all those people who claim to know what's going on. Anxiety and stress are almost as virulent as this awful coronavirus. And so if people just calm, if they can calm down by taking a deep breath and allowing time to take on a different dimension, taking more time to do everything, as I say, whether it's cleaning your teeth, yes, in the morning, laying your clothes out, just making a process of it.
I like that clip. You can see the full on BBC. I think it was a couple last night.
Yeah, we'll share that link, yeah, so you can watch both of those, yeah, in their entirety, because I think that he makes some really great points there. Keep your routine.
Give yourself time.
Yeah.
It's a little bit the same as what James Corden was saying, is just, you know, give yourself time, allow yourself to feel how you're really feeling, and don't let yourself get bombarded by the negative news. I know for myself, the first couple of weeks, you know, every 45 seconds was like refreshing for headlines. And you know, I'm a big reader, and I would stay up after the kids would go to sleep, and I would read for, you know, 4 or 5 hours after that, like every single New York Times, Boston Globe, LA Times that I could. Last night, I downloaded a paint-by-number app with my daughter, and she did
few.
And then after she went to sleep, I spent 2 hours doing a paint-by-number. And I have to say that I felt like that was time better spent.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, refreshing the browser every 5 seconds isn't going to make, yeah, anything better. And what we're seeing is information overload and a saturation point, and then a sense of fatigue and ennui, right? And malaise,
yeah,
right? And that's got to, right? Go ahead, David.
I was going to say, the app that I mentioned, I think, is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
And we're seeing these, by the same token, there's like a shortage of puzzles. Like, people are buying puzzles in bulk because it's something to do as a family activity,
oh, really?
That doesn't involve a screen and more bombardment of information. So I think we should put a list together of sort of relaxing activities, whether it's the Paint by Numbers app or puzzles or, you know, other games you can play.
Yeah.
You know, I play a ton of Words with Friends on my phone. So everything we're saying, I think, is the line that find an outlet, find something to distract yourself, to just put yourself at ease and find a bit of peace away from the noise and away from the constant barrage of frightening headlines and the reality of what we're dealing with.
In the vacuum that's been created by the lack of sports, you know who stepped up is gaming and esports. One of the most popular games out there right now is a game called Animal Crossing. What's the New Horizons? People have been waiting years for this game to come out, and there you end up on a little happy little island, and you basically populate your island. You feed your chickens, and you know, do your little farm, and you know, it gives you a pure 100% escape. Also, I'm seeing, like, for instance, IndyCar, Formula One. Some of the esports guys are doing these massive worldwide races online on Sundays, and people from all over the world are watching everybody all connected via their devices, racing these amazing things. And quite frankly, if you look at this on a television set, you cannot tell that it's not a real race.
It's beautiful.
They have actual commentators, yeah, they have people who know the sport, the strategy's there, people aren't just smashing into each other, people are like taking this absolutely seriously. Some of these simulators cost $15,000, $20,000. And you have professional Formula One race car drivers racing against esports guys that are doing this out of their garage. I don't think that's gonna change. When this is all over, people are gonna say, wow, that was super entertaining, and I can watch it anytime, and I can participate from anywhere in the world. That's a positive thing. And then the other thing that I'm seeing is that on YouTube, all of a sudden, people are just tuning into like marble races.
Yes.
People are tuning into like matchbox car races, and people have gone from having tens of thousands of hits to millions of hits overnight because they've created this really wonderful, compelling sports content. So my advice to the NFL and the NBA and the MLB is get off your ass and get into esports. Start putting your players on TV. Start creating content. Start doing commentary over live games. Replay the games. We had the 328 game again the other day, but why didn't you have players from both teams, like picture in a picture, arguing about it while it was happening live? I mean, it's ridiculous,
right,
that they're not.
Well,
the
NBA supposedly is going to do an NBA 2K tournament, I think on ESPN, where players in their homes will be playing against each other. And they're going to broadcast. I don't think commentators or not, but they are working to have the players do a virtual tournament.
Great. Guess who's already been doing it right now? This is what I'm saying. This is already being done by amateurs in organizations that aren't them. And that's why I'm saying they're not showing leadership here, but they're not showing how to open up the box and make things happen. So they're behind the curve and they have to get better quick. That's what I'm saying. Guys, broadband is an important part of how we communicate. And speaking to that point, some broadband companies are now removing the caps from people's data services because just like water, just like, you know, just like oil, it's a commodity, and you can't cut people off from that stuff. So
you've seen that elsewhere. SiriusXM this week announced the app is free through the middle of May because, again, make it free. People aren't in the cars nearly as much, so they're listening. They're not listening as much. Yeah. Make it easy to listen at home for free. They'll have a huge increase in their subscriber base. My local cable company just made Showtime and I think Cinemax or Epix, I think, free until the middle of May. Providing free content, get them hooked, and then, you know, you want to keep it. It's, you know, only $10 a month more, yeah. You know, and they'll raise revenue that way. It's a smart play.
It's a smart play, and guess what? It shows leadership, and it shows that we're all in this together. I like to see these examples, and I'm encouraged to see that these people are going to win the game, because if there's anything that's going to be clear about this going forward, it's that people who innovate and adapt right now are going to be the new businesses of the future. If you don't pay attention to these things, if you think you're going to go right back to where it was when you started, you're absolutely wrong. So these risk takers, for instance, Jack's Abbey, which is a brewery client of ours, who we love and we've watched them grow. They mortgaged their farm, literally sold their farm to found the brewery, and then they grew to be one of the largest breweries in Massachusetts and one of the fastest growing breweries in the country.
And they make great beer.
And they make amazing beer. They're giving away pizzas to kids who do not have school lunch. They are did a drive-through service. They're still continuing to pay people even though the restaurant's closed. They're suffering a debacle as far as this is concerned, but they put out a post the other day saying, if we go out of business giving away free pizzas, if we go out of business treating our employees right, if we go out of business doing it the right way, then that's the way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of courage, that's the kind of stuff that your grandparents told you made them who they were. And I see that is the beacon for the future. So does it matter what beer you buy? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
I talk about it all the time. Your purchasing power is your number one power in this country. It really is. So when you regain your purchasing power, pay attention to the people who helped.
Who treated you right.
And who
didn't
treated
take
you
profit.
Right. Don't, yeah. Don't,
and who treated their employees right. So once this is over, don't go to Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby.
That's one example.
You know what? Not only did they spend millions buying fake Dead Sea Scrolls to create a museum that nobody asked for, they fired everybody.
Yeah. No health insurance.
Instantaneous, no severance. Yep. And they use coronavirus as the excuse to restructure their businesses. A lot of shady businesses are doing this right now, but they're saying, oh, well, this is going to be an opportunity for us to revamp and retool and come back stronger. I'm like, no, you should be taking care of your employees.
Yes.
Remember the people who did this now, because in the future, they're going to come back and they're going to want this, and we're going to say, oh, remember when you fired everybody on a conference call, Cirque du Soleil? They fired everybody on a conference call, and then there was another startup that did it on a Zoom call. He didn't put his camera on, but he made everybody put their cameras on. And so it was a blank screen talking to everybody else and firing his entire company over Zoom.
It's disgusting, and thankfully we have a means now to call these people out for the gross behavior. And instead of, you know, there's a swath of this country that worships the free market because they, you know, because of an ideology versus the reality of human dynamics. And they think, oh, this is great. Now they're getting called out for it. And people are seeing, you know, this is the reality of treating people this way. This is the reality of corporate arrogance and billionaires that are more concerned with making sure they stay billionaires than helping people get health insurance and feed their families.
Exactly.
And I find it gross.
So taking care of your local businesses right now is important. If you can, if you can, drive up. If you can, take out. And then call your neighbor. Ask your neighbor if I can help you with something.
Right.
You know,
stay connected as much as you can.
And I mentioned another thing really quickly, which is that Mercedes, which is a Formula One team, which incidentally is not racing, it looks like the whole season might be canceled, is making CPAP machines. They can make 1,000 CPAP machines a day. So not everybody needs to be on a full-scale ventilator. Some people do, and even one full-scale ventilator for a person may not be enough for how badly it affects some people. If this company can do it in England, why can't we be doing this here?
Right.
Why can't we be getting these 3D printers to make the masks, and why can't be using this company to do this and this company to do that? Because we're setting up field hospitals now. I think it's now is the time to start working together.
You know, we're all together. It's sort of cliche, but we are. And it does seem like people are being a bit more considerate of one another and a bit kinder in person, whether it's to each other or to somebody working in a store, because of just how fraught all of this is with this terrifying fear of this invisible enemy. So.
Right.
That shouldn't change. The families walking together right down the street. Oh, my God.
It's heartening to see people doing that. I agree with you. It should continue that. A sort of basic human kindness can come back from how divisive things have been for so many years here. At a time like this, where we're much more isolated because of the what's in practice to protect all of us from the coronavirus, check in on people that you know live alone. Check in, pick the phone and call them, do a FaceTime call, use Zoom, whatever the case may be, text message, but reach out, say, how are you doing? What's going on? And just chat, have a conversation. Just staying connected to the people in your life and to feel like you're not quite so isolated. And I'm not saying this for myself, just for anybody that lives alone or is going through this on their own. It really does mean the world when you hear people to check in and say, hey, just want to say hello, how's it going?
Let's be the people. I mean, we watch movies all the time. Like, as I said, I mean, I'm shocked that we're all this surprised because we've all watched the same zombie movies. We've all watched the same pandemic movies. Like, how did we not know that this was? Did we think the movies were fake? Did we think that oh, that's not possible? 28 Days Later is like a documentary now. It's not, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there was a level of thinking that we're so technologically advanced now that something that happened in 1918 couldn't happen again.
Right.
And I do think there was a false security there. I know for myself, I didn't expect to live through a pandemic. I mean, I've played out a lot of scenarios in my head, as we all do, but I have to say a pandemic was never one that kept me up at night.
Yeah.
But here we are.
And
so I do think there was a level of just, you know, that kind of thing doesn't happen anymore because we're so advanced.
Right.
Or that it doesn't happen here, that we see the SARS outbreak and the MERS outbreak that happens in another part of the world that's so far from here and so different and distinct from our lives that, that's never going to happen here. We're safe. We're protected. We're all human, and nobody's immune from the horrible things in the world and how they are going to impact us.
We're going to recover from this. People are holding on to their cash. People are holding on to their investments. Some things are being deferred. Some things have been canceled. But the money is still out there. It's going to get spent. Please take this opportunity to revamp your business, redo your website. Go do something in your house. Go do that project inside your house that was very labor intensive. Paint it, scrape this, do that, and invest back in yourself or invest back in your business while you have the time. And just like Stephen Fry said, change your calculation about what Monday and Tuesday is and what 9 o'clock in the morning is and what 5 o'clock in the afternoon is and make it fit for now. Take a lot longer to do something. Don't try to finish it so fast and you'll get into this new mode. Well, David, thanks for being here. Thanks to WICN and thanks to the all the great people who are working so hard to take care of other people out there. Well, I think maybe next show we'll get together again on Friday and we'll talk about where we are right now. We're here for you. If there's anything we can do to help or research or provide support or provide distribution as far as information goes, and we're here for you on that side. Thank you very much for watching and listening to Business Beat, and we'll be with you again very soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.